Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We continue our conversation about food with a new cookbook out just in time for barbecue season from the folks at Pig Beach. Now, if you go to Yelp, where people usually go to vent, the spot Pig Beach gets a lot of love, like this review from Simone from May 8th. Hands down, some of the best barbecue in Brooklyn, and this is coming from a Texas native. Definitely recommend the brisket and the wings. There's one kind of bad review, but it was from a guy who was mad he couldn't vape in this restaurant. So let's go figure. If you want to try your hand at barbecue at home, Pig Beach style, you are in luck. Matt Abdu and Shane McBride, two of the partners behind Pig Beach, just published their new cookbook, which features more than 50 recipes. It doesn't matter whether you've never stood over an open flame before or you have your own butcher's block and magnetic knife holder. As USA Today wrote, while Abdu and McBride have formal culinary training, they had to learn the fundamentals of barbecue. So they dedicated a chapter in the book to barbecue basics to share their earned knowledge of smokers, tools, and ingredients. The cookbook includes signature rubs, sauces, marinades, as well as recipes for dishes like loin back ribs with peach and honey glaze, smoked duck lasagna, Lebanese ribs with New York City white sauce. Matt Abdu and Shane McBride join us now. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having us.
Listeners, do you plan on barbecuing this weekend? What are your favorite foods to toss in the grill? How do you season your meats? Tell us your technique. What brought you to barbecue and how did you learn to barbecue? Or maybe you have questions for our guests. Share your plans. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. We are talking barbecue for the rest of the show. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Or let us know via social media at All of It WNYC. So Shane, you're from the South, yes?
Yes.
So you have long time exposure to barbecue. What are a few tips that everyone should know? Just the first, I'll ask you this as well, Matt. Two things you want to make sure people know. Shane, you go first. We're just starting out.
The one thing that people who get into barbecue that they've really never quite grasped is that you need to be extremely patient. Because it's a long process to do it. It's not something that happens overnight. You need to be patient and you need to have a really good sense of timing on things.
All right, Matt, what do you think? What are you going to add?
I would say that any person that's out there that wants to get into doing barbecue, whether that be backyard barbecuing as a hobby or getting into it as sort of like a full-time profession, definitely do the best you can to practice as often as you can with preferably probably the lesser expensive cuts of meat. Things like pork shoulder and chicken thighs are always really good to start on because they're more affordable. And the second thing I would say is go and get yourself a really great digital instant read thermometer, both one that is a probe that you can put into the meat itself and one that you can leave hanging in the chamber of the cooking area so that you can know exactly what the temperature is inside your smoker and you can know exactly what the temperature is of that meat or protein or whatever it is that you're cooking to know exactly when to either wrap it or pull it off when it's fully cooked and ready to eat.
That idea of starter meats. Is kind of funny.
Starter meats.
Starter
right.
meats.
Right.
Training wheel meats.
And more so than anything, pick up your copy of the Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook and you'll have a plethora of fun and great tips, tricks, and ideas to make your barbecue easy and efficient.
Matt, why did you guys decide to share your secrets in the book?
We love to share what it is when we have that we very like to refer to as barbecue family. Mm-hmm. And there's an incredible network of amazing people within this culture of barbecue that gotten to meet along the way. And one of the greatest things you can do out in general is to be able to share it with family and loved ones. And this is our sort of way of being able to take what we've put our blood, sweat, and tears into within the concept of Pig Beach and sharing it with hopefully the world so that they can be a part of our barbecue family as well.
Now, Shane, I said you were from the South, but what exactly is Yankee style barbecue?
So Yankee style barbecue is kind of what I have started calling. When I started cooking barbecue in the North, I started just calling it like Yankee barbecue because here from being in the restaurant business for as long as I had been in New York City, everything gets critiqued, right? So if you say that you're going to make South Carolina barbecue, there is going to be somebody who's from South Carolina who's going to come up and say, that's not how my meemaw made pork shoulder. That's not South Carolina style. So I took to never saying that we did a regional style of barbecue. And I started calling it New York barbecue or Yankee barbecue, because we, you know, we follow the traditions and the guidelines of regional barbecues, but I don't want to put that moniker on it because you're opening yourself up for somebody to just take you down.
Smart man. Let's open the phone lines. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We are talking about barbecuing. We want to hear if you have barbecue plans for this weekend. What are some of your trips, tricks, and techniques? Or maybe you have a question for our guests, Matt Abdo and Shane McBride of Pig Beach. The name of their book is Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook, Smoked, Grilled, Roasted, and Sauced. Matt, I did want to ask you, you know, I'm not sure people know your background, or at least, you know, folks who are not foodies don't know your background. How did you get into the restaurant industry and the culinary industry?
Wow. For going back for many, many years ago now. Mm-hmm. I am half Italian and half Lebanese, and I grew up with one side of my family telling me to manja, while the other side of my family told me to sakhtain, both would basically just mean eat and be happy and love. I was very blessed with grandmothers and a mother who fed me exceptionally well. And for me, food was always about family. It was always about love. And it was always about my grandmothers or my mother doing like their representation of like love just by cooking for us. I have three brothers, and food was always sort of the epicenter of everything. And I just loved how it brought our family together. And I always loved cooking, and I always loved its ability to put a smile on people's faces and bring loved ones to the table. So I was cooking since I was a little kid, always loved doing it. Cooked through high school. My first job was at 15 years old, working at an Italian bakery cafe in Utica, New York, called Cafe Canole, where I grew up, working for two amazing brothers, Dean and Jason, who were sort of my mentors and got me into cooking in a restaurant professionally. And I carried that with me throughout high school. Wanted to go to culinary school right out of high school. My dad was like, in case this is a phase, let's go and get a four-year bachelor's degree in something else. So I went to a State University of New York at Geneseo. Got my bachelor's in business administration, still had the culinary bug and wanted to cook. So I went to culinary school at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, after graduating with my bachelor's in business, and just been cooking ever since. Cause I love it. I love cooking. I love being able to put smiles on people's faces, and I love being able to bring people together.
How about you, Shane?
I grew up
survival
in South Florida. My mom is a single mom, and she's an app. So for me, it was kind of survival of the fittest. From the time that I could reach top of a stove, I was cooking for myself. And I was fortunate enough to have a grandmother like Matt, who was a good Southern cook. I could also always count on my uncle, who was a professional chef as well. So I had good teachers early on. And when I realized that I wasn't going to be a musical engineer, I got into the restaurant business. I worked for my first chef. His name was Todd Gent. He kind of pushed me on the right path, and I kind of followed what he told me to do. He moved to Florida. Florida's kind of like the restaurant industry in Florida is like being on a big pirate ship. So I kind of got to avoid the bad parts of the pirate ship, thanks to Todd. And, you know, I ended up moving to New York City because that was where you had to go back when I was coming up in the restaurant world. You know, it still is the best restaurant town in the world, in my mind. And, you know, I also went to the Culinary Institute of America and, you know, moved to New York, and the rest is history.
I do want to point out, you guys are in the restaurant. That's what's going on behind you.
Obviously. We are in the restaurant. Our apologies for that.
You got to work. Restaurant.
Working chefs.
Exactly. Let's take a call. Alistair is calling from Connecticut on line one with a question. Hi, Alistair.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Nice.
My question is, I make a brisket, and I've heard that brisket is, you got to do it low and slow for like 14 to 18 hours. You know, America's Test Kitchen does it, you know, and then they do a Texas wrap, and then they wrap it in a cooler. I have a piece of equipment called the Orion smoker. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it, but the way that it works is the heat source is on the outside of the cooker, and then it heats up these wood chips, and then there's a really thin layer of wood chips, and then after the wood chips get over, like gets heated, there's a drip pan that you fill with liquid. And when I cook a brisket, it takes 3.5 hours. It's so juicy and so tender. I just don't understand the science behind how my smoker can cook something in 3.5 hours that most people are cooking in 15 to 18 hours.
Gentlemen, thoughts?
If I think I know the smoker you're cooking on, that is almost like a pressure cooker. There's a lot of steam involved in that as well. And I think that's what kind of expedites your cooking time for sure.
Well, if you guys, now you've made people think, I might want a smoker. I might want a cooker. What should people look for when they're thinking about buying an entry-level smoker?
I think that's a great question. And what Shane and I love to tell and encourage everybody is really, how much do you want to physically be working when doing that cook? Arguably, some of the better flavor smokers are ones where you're burning sticks, stick burner smokers that might have a similar offset smoke box or hot box. But those require constant and continual maintenance, but they arguably give some better tasting barbecue. But I'm sort of at the point in my career now when I'm not using the commercial smokers that we have at the restaurants. I'm a big fan of pellet smokers for my home, for my own backyard. They're super easy. They're thermostat based, so you can turn it, set it to whatever temperature you want to cook. The pellets continuously feed into the firebox to heat and smoke the chamber, and it's kind of a set it and forget it kind of thing. But lots of times, it's like if somebody has something as simple as a Weber kettle, and you don't really want to invest a lot of money, or you don't have a lot of disposable income to spend on a smoker, you can get a really affordable Weber kettle and set that up to be an offset smoker at your house. It's really kind of up to what your budget is and how much you like to sleep at night if you're doing long cooks. But for a lot of people, a Green Egg is a great smoker to use for your backyard if you're starting out. It keeps temperatures really consistent and really well. And outside of that, like budget, how much time you want to be able to have to hover over it. What else, Chef?
This is a hobby that can be extremely expensive. So Matt touched on budget already, but it's really what you're willing to spend. And the more money you spend, obviously, it just goes in better quality. Being a fancy chef for as long as I am, I like to cook on nice things. Mm-hmm. So I would be willing to spend the money, but I fully understand if somebody wants to just get like a Oklahoma Joe from Home Depot and get going that way. And that works just fine.
Yeah, you can still cook great barbecue on inexpensive or lesser expensive smokers. It's really whatever is within your budget. We encourage people to start off on a smoker that's within your budget before and see if you actually have that barbecue bug, because what ends up happening is you do get this barbecue bug once you start and you want to perfect it, and you end up progressing your way up the proverbial smoker chain, starting off on something like a Weber kettle or a Green Egg, and then you turn yourself up into something like a Vault or an offset cooker like a Lang.
You're looking at that's when you start looking at Jambo pits and Old Hickory pits. And Lang is an entry level. That was my first big smoker.
Yeah.
But then you start seeing like David Kloss pits and mill scale pits. And they're, you know, you're going from $500 from Home Depot to $25,000 for a big mill scale pit. You know? So there's a lot of in between. And it's like we said, you know, you're paying for a lot of show, mm-hmm. but as long as you're buying good quality meat and smoking on the right charcoal and wood, that they all do the same job.
That's probably a really great segue to say that regardless of whatever pit you're smoking on, the quality of the wood you're using has a huge impact on the flavor of the meat you're going to be cooking, and the quality of the meat you're using, quality in, quality out. So let's say your budget for a smoker is more in the sort of, you know, $200 to $500 range. You can still cook exceptionally great barbecue, but don't skimp on the type of wood you're using. If you can find better wood, always find the best wood that's available to you. And whatever meat is the best available within your budget will always make a big, big difference.
All right. We've heard about smokers. We have heard about how these gentlemen got to be where they are today. After a quick break, we'll talk about the recipes that are in Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook, smoked, grilled, roasted, and sauced. We'll take more of your calls. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Your barbecue calls, and Shane and Matt after a quick break. Yeah, I said that with a straight face. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests this hour are Matt Abdu and Shane McBride of Pig Beach. There's a cookbook now, not just a great restaurant. There's a cookbook too. Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook, smoked, grilled, roasted, and sauced. Okay, so Matt, you have Lebanese ribs in the cookbook with New York City white sauce.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a producer on our staff who is Lebanese and whose grandfather used to actually like stock up at the old Sahadis, so she knows. And she gave you the thumbs up. She gave you the thumbs up on the ribs.
My Lebanese sister on the other side of the radio. That is so wonderful to hear. She know what sakhtain meant, I'm sure. Obviously, within all the recipes of things that Shane and I cook along our career, there's always things, for me personally, that inspire you to cook certain dishes. And a lot of that comes from your heritage, your culture, where you came from, experiences in life. And one of my favorite chapters in this book is our Fun with Ribs chapter. And what's really fun about what Shane and I are able to do within that, you know, air quote, Yankee style barbecue, is we're able to take our favorite classical regional barbecue dishes and then make our versions of it within New York. And then we're able to double down on that and take some fun, iconic, traditional flavor profiles from other cultures and other cuisines and add those into that wonderful world of smoke. So here on that one particular dish, it's really like a za'atar-based seasoning blend that we put onto those baby back ribs. We smoke them up until they're falling off the bone, tender and delicious. And then the New York City white sauce is our ode to anyone that's ever lived or been in New York City, knows who the halal guy food trucks are, and you've probably gotten a chicken and light rice or a combo and rice with white sauce, hot sauce. It's sort of that tzatziki yogurt-based sauce that goes right on the top. And within my culture of Lebanese cuisine and cooking, a lot of meats get finished with a yogurt-based sauce. So this was my sort of love letter to that aspect of my roots. And the flavor of these ribs are just going to knock your socks off. They're super good. They're very unique. It's something different, but it still has that beautiful backbone of smoke behind it that just really kind of raises that flavor profile a next level.
We have some calls. Let's go to line two. Mike from Massapequa, as long as we're on this topic of ribs. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question might be a little too basic, but it is about ribs and baby back ribs. But the first thing is, how do you buy good meat in general? Because, I cook, you know, skirt steak, chicken breast, baby back ribs, but how do you source good meat? Because the difference between the cuts of meat like a skirt is just night and day between various places. But is there a place where people should go to start with quality meats before we even attempt the barbecue?
Who wants to take that?
That's a great question. I have always found that in New York City it's a little bit easier because you can kind of get anything you want in the city, but in say like Matt and I are both in South Florida right now, there are a couple butcher shops down here that I grew up going to, and if you get to know the butcher, they will get you what you're looking for. It might take them a week or so to source it, but almost any butcher will get any cut of meat for you. And then there's also tons and tons and tons of online butcher shops. Pat LaFreda does online stuff. That's a huge New York City based butcher shop. D'Artagnan, same thing, based in New Jersey. All those guys do really great stuff, and you can source the same things that we're using from those places.
Make friends
and,
with the butcher.
To add to that too, lots of times you can find really great meats, believe it or not, at places like Costco.
Yeah.
Lots of times Costco will have prime grade beef and briskets in their shelf and their display. And they'll have really good, high-quality baby back ribs. I'm sort of a sucker for the Prairie Fresh baby back, loin back ribs. I think they're just a super juicy, consistent, thick, meaty baby back rib. So those are the ribs that we use at the restaurant because we find them to be really consistent and really great. But honestly, at the end of the day, as Shane said, whatever you can find that's within your budget is the best quality you can do. A lot of online ordering, you can find really kind of whatever you want and they'll overnight it. Costs a little bit more doing it that way, but that's a surefire way to get some stuff to you that's really, really great. And then don't sleep on Costco. Costco's got some great options when you go there for in their meat department.
And one other thing, in the warehouse store world, there is a bunch of restaurant supply houses as well where you can get a membership and you can buy meats at restaurant prices. That's a good hack. I talk about in the book as well about buying commercial grade cooking tools. That's where you can get those as well.
All right, Mike in Massapequa, let us know how you make out. Let's talk to Michael from Riverdale on line one. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm very lucky. I am a New York City high school teacher, and I spent half the year in Key West grilling. And since you're in South Florida, at Publix supermarkets, I bought the Publix hardwood charcoal, and I bought hickory and mesquite. I sort of mixed them some days, and I just really figured out what I was doing barbecuing. What type of wood do you use? You were so correct about the quality of the wood making all the difference in the world.
So we use a couple of different things. For us, a lot of it's based on what protein we're cooking. When we're cooking pork, we like to use fruit woods, apple, cherry woods, and a little bit of hickory. When we're cooking brisket, we like to use hickory and oak. I personally stay away from mesquite. I find it to be an astringent smoke. But I always like to do a little mix up of two different woods when I'm cooking, because they all have, you know, different things that obviously lend flavor to things. And one other thing that I do that's completely unwood related is I throw a whole onion in the smoke chamber when I'm doing a barbecue. Throw a whole onion in there, and that adds a whole nother layer of this like delicious caramelized onion smoke. And you can literally taste it on pork when you do it on a rib. It really comes through.
That got a thumbs up for an, like that got a thumbs up from our engineer on the onion and the smoker. We did have a question, and we've had two people ask this. And the question is a possibly blasphemous question from the barbecue guest. What is a decent alternative approach for somebody who can only cook indoors? Our apartment dwellers are weighing in.
We kind of addressed that in the book a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the hard thing about smoking indoors is that most places have fire alarms now, and it makes it almost impossible to have smoke inside. I can barely cook bacon in my apartment without my fire alarm going off. But the low and slow technique of, cooking something for a long period at a lower temperature is completely achievable in a home oven. I mean, you can use the same barbecue spices, same barbecue rub, and follow the, 250 to 275 degree temperature and do it nice and slow. You can still do like the baste, the spritz that you do in barbecue. It's hard to get that smoke. It's just an impossible thing to do in an apartment, especially in New York City.
I remember my mom used to do that. Sure, people from Georgia, they did it low and slow in the oven. The ribs were pretty good.
You can make a pretty mean brisket and pretty mean ribs in a low and slow oven.
And
sure.
It's what we also like to say too, for anybody that hasn't gotten a smoker yet, a great way to practice to understand how meat reacts from the temperatures, to understand the things like the stall that happens in a big piece of protein like a pork shoulder or a brisket, and understanding and trying your flavor of your rubs and seasoning and experimenting with all that. It's a great way to practice is doing the low and slow temp cooking in your oven, so you understand how all that works and flavors develop. And then once you have a good understanding of that, taking that meat and doing the same process in the smoker with the element of wood and fire and smoke being added to it, gives you a leg up of an understanding your smoker and when the time comes to cook on it.
My guests are Matt Abdu and Shay McBride of Pig Beach. They have a new cookbook, Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook, Smoked, Grilled, Roasted, and Sauced. We might be able to slide in one or two more calls if you want to give us a ring. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 if you have questions for our guests or you want to share your barbecuing techniques. Social media is available as well at All of It WNYC. I have to ask about this. Grilled oysters with spicy garlic butter. It sounds delicious, but Matt, how do you grill an oyster?
Sorry, I was on mute. How do you grill an oyster? Well, the great answer to that is the same way you're going to grill anything. Mm-hmm. You're going to get your grill nice and hot, and you're going to throw it on there. And this particular dish was just inspired by this amazing restaurant in New Orleans called Cochon, where I had this unbelievable roasted oysters, and they do these big Gulf oysters. And they basically did like this really fun spicy butter sauce with it. And then Shay and I sort of took that inspiration, added our little Italian flair of having like the garlic, the butter, some lemon, a little anchovy added into it, and then topping it off with some Parmesan breadcrumbs to give it that nice little fun crunch. Oysters don't really take all that long to cook. So basically what you do is you get those oysters, you pop them open on the half shell using an oyster knife. You put a big old dollop of that scampi butter or that spicy garlic butter on top of them. Put the grill on hot, hot, hot. Put the lid down so it melts the butter. When the butter's melted, you add it with some Parmesan and breadcrumbs and put the lid down again. Let those breadcrumbs sort of fry up in that butter sauce. Pull them right off the grill, hit them with some fresh lemon and start eating. It's a great way. It's a nice, fun snack when you have friends and family, loved ones over, starting off with the backyard barbecue to pass around while you're waiting for the barbecue to finish.
Shane, some of our listeners are vegetarian and vegan. Any advice for them? What can they do on a grill?
On a grill, tons of stuff. So in the smoking world, one of the things that we do in the restaurant is we do smoked jackfruit. And it has a texture that's similar to what a pulled pork would be like. You can actually buy it canned. It's already cooked. And add your favorite barbecue sauce to it. And voila, you have vegan pulled pork. On a grill, things I like to do. I mean, I love cooking all types of vegetables. I love cooking spring onions on a grill. I love cooking eggplant on a grill. I do zucchini. I just the other day I did zucchini, eggplant, spring onion, and I have a ramp. I made ramp butter. It's spring, so kind of. I have one of those mesh grill pans where I just kind of cook everything in that, and then I take it inside and I put it into a saute pan with ramp butter in it, and good to go.
Sounds so good. Matt, let's talk sides. Smoked jalapeno and pineapple slaw. You have this recipe in the book. So what's tell us about the flavor profile of this.
Well, the flavor profile. So this particular coleslaw was something that we wanted to do when we first opened up the restaurant, where we wanted to have a traditional creamy style coleslaw, but we wanted to add that sort of fun, tropical, smoky notes with the pineapple and the smoked jalapeno to it, with like a little bit of heat, but nothing that's by any means spicy. So we take this coleslaw, it's pretty much a traditional base of the, like a mayo based coleslaw. That's the creamy component to it. And to that, we add up the diced pineapple that gives it that nice juicy tropical fruit flavor sweetness to it. And then we take some jalapenos and we put them in the smoker until they're super nice and cooked. And we chop those up and mix it in there. So you get that nice little bit of heat, that wonderful, beautiful smoky element of the jalapenos. And then that fresh tropical fruit flavor, the pineapple mixed together, that creamy coleslaw just makes a really great side and also a great topper to any pulled pork sandwich.
Shane, was there any recipe you knew you had to have in the book, either because it's a favorite of yours or it's one that is super popular in the restaurant?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. A special thing is our mac and cheese, because it's just like everybody loves it. It's super easy to make. That was an important one. And then there's another one that's just fun. That was kind of a pandemic recipe for me, was the pastrami. When the world ended right around St. Patrick's Day for the pandemic, everybody thought we were going to be gone for 2 weeks and come back to work. We had cooked some pastrami's for St. Patrick's Day, and I took some with me, and then, 2 weeks turned into 3 months, and I made some ramen broth and added that pastrami into it, and it became a staple over the the shutdown. We made quite a bit, so that was a fun one to put in there as well.
Matt, how about
that? Was born from the pandemic.
Matt, how about for you?
You know, it's I love that question because it's like trying to choose between your favorite child, you know, which one you love the most. There's so many great recipes in there. I had a ton of fun with that Fun with Ribs chapter just because it got to take what's cool about that chapter for us, for Shane and I, is that it's basically saying, OK, we've in the beginning of the book, we've given you the fundamentals of how to cook barbecue. We've shown you how to make our classic peach and honey glazed baby back ribs. That's sort of a traditional like Memphis style kind of cook of those ribs, which we love. So once you have that basic foundation, then in that chapter, there's all those different recipes. The al pastor is like knock your socks off good. That's mm-hmm. inspired from the incredible Mexican cuisine, like the street tacos al pastor that we have in New York City, which is one of my favorite all-time things to eat when I have a day off. Just there's so many different flavors in there. I'm a huge fan of that duck lasagna, again, because that's taken sort of my Italian roots of doing something I grew up eating every other day, like every other week, like a lasagna, but then adding that smoked duck thigh meat to it is just something that's super unique and fun and absolutely delicious. And again, the Lebanese ribs, where I am able to put that Lebanese side of myself into a recipe in the book. So there's just so many great, delicious recipes in there. I encourage people to read through the book, and whenever you have a chance, cook as many as you can, because I hope none of them are going to disappoint.
Matt Abdu and Shane McBride have been my guests. The name of the book is Pig Beach Barbecue Cookbook. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's it. And that's it for this week. I do have to say, to be safe, never grill indoors, according to New York City law, and it's illegal to grill on your fire escape. All of It is produced by Andrea Duncan Mao, Kate Hines, Jordan Loft, Simon Close, Zach Goddard-Cohen, Malik Anderson, Luke Green. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. Our engineers are Juliana Fonda, Jason Isaac, and Milton Ruiz. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here next time.